Well, there's a lot of irony. Speaking of irony, I'm supposed to give a testimony. I'm certainly glad to do that. Praise the Lord. And talking about the charismatic renewal in my life, and then maybe talking about a little bit about the future of the charismatic renewal and our experience of prayer in the context of the church. And so first of all, I just would like to begin with a prayer. And if you need to stand up to stretch your legs and also pray, let's do that. You can pray in the charismatic form, in the cruciform stretch, or, you know, lift the heads to heaven stretch, praise Jesus. All right, yeah, get our bodies reconnected here. All right, we praise you, Jesus, we praise you, we glorify you, we adore you, Lord, we just proclaim you. Feel free to pray in tongues if you have that gift. We praise you, Jesus. We glorify you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. Jesus, we praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, we just praise you for your superabundant, merciful love and the charisms that you've been given. And we pray, Lord God, for an outpouring of your charisms and openness to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that these gifts would be operative once again or operative anew in our lives. We praise you and glorify you, Heavenly Father. And we thank you for the gift of the Spirit. We thank you for the gift of the charismatic renewal to the church. And we just consecrate this day to you, Lord God. We place this under your sovereignty, under your power, under your lordship. You know, Jesus, you are Lord. You are Lord of St. Joseph's Church. You're the Lord of every one of our lives. And we claim your authority, Lord God. And we give your authority permission to reign sovereignly here. Jesus, you are Lord. We praise you, Jesus. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Trying to remember the beginning of exposure to the charismatic renewal, my mind goes to Regis High School with Father John Hampsch healings weekend, I suppose it was. I went with my mom, and he was doing the healing of families. And then the next memory that comes to mind would be youth ministry. My sister being the youth minister here. My confirmation retreat. Deacon Leo and Bill Steinmetz were praying over each one of us in tongues. They were laying their hands on the youth, and I noticed that so many of the youth were crying. And it wasn't like a sad cry, but I was just really struck by that. And I was, you know, deeply moved by being prayed over in tongues and people just laying hands. But I really was very deeply impressed by the way that it looked like the Holy Spirit was healing minds and hearts in this charismatic prayer moment. And then it was youth ministry, learning more of kind of like the praise and worship type music, and being a part of youth ministry in that sense. And I went to the North American College in Rome, and we had a charismatic prayer group that met. We didn't call it that. We called it praise and worship. The praise and worship group that met on Monday nights. And we had adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, and we had plenty of men who could lead the music. And then we would usually go down to a time of silent, contemplative prayer. And there was a few of the seminarians who were raised in the renewal. And so they knew how to operate in the gifts, which most of us really kind of, you know, that was a little bit foreign. You know, praise and worship we were comfortable with. But operating in the gifts of the Spirit, that was a little bit different. But they would go around giving words of knowledge. And one of the priests there said, you know, we really should start a retreat at the seminary every year on a free weekend. And that's what we did. We had a retreat every year on the free weekend, and we invited a group from the renewal to the North American College in Rome. And they taught us about the theology of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit, the charisms of the Holy Spirit. But then we would have prayer times where we were really asking the Holy Spirit to grant us the ability to operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And that's kind of been my formation in the English-speaking charismatic renewal. My experience then in the Spanish-speaking charismatic renewal is in parish ministries, but also with the religious sisters, the Sisters of the Servants of the Pierced Hearts of Jesus and Mary in Miami. They are a new religious congregation that is Marian, charismatic, Eucharistic, and faithful to the magisterium. Those are kind of their hallmarks. And every Friday, they have a mass somewhere in Miami. And it's kind of mass, as it were, with maybe some praise and worship type music. And then during the holy hour, after mass, they do praise and worship, praying in tongues. And then the sisters and the priest or whoever's there pray over anybody who needs prayer that night. And my experience to the French-speaking charismatic renewal is with the Emmanuel community. I lived with the Emmanuel community for a month, and they are evangelization. Their focus is evangelization, but their spirituality is charismatic. And I remember living in Pré-Lemonial, and I had to do all the work that we were doing, and in order for me to get my bravery done and my holy hour done, I needed to do it at night because it was more focused on college students. And for that more contemplative prayer, I guess. So I would get up, and then, but we started our day with a half hour of praise and worship, praying in tongues every day, every day. And one thing that I learned from those theological seminar retreats at the North American College was, it was emphasized, is that the charismatic renewal and the charismatic spirituality of expressive prayer is not rooted in the emotions, it's rooted in the will. You don't praise God when you feel like it. You praise God because He's God. And that doesn't change. And so the choice to praise God every morning is in the will. And by week two, we were all exhausted. Totally exhausted. And I was trying to think of one thing to praise the Lord for. But because He's God. And after a month of doing that every single day for a half hour, I thought, wow, that was a real gift. I recognized that I would probably never be in a situation again in my life, or very rarely, where I could on a long-term basis be committed to praising the Lord every morning in charismatic prayer, expressive prayer. It was a real gift. My exposure to the charismatic renewal in the Italian language group was through basically youth ministry in Rome. The Emmanuel community had a center of evangelization in Rome, and one of the parishes was open to adoration with praise and worship and outreach to youth. All very, very different. The English-speaking, the French, the Italian, the Spanish, very different. But there is a common thread, right? There is something very that connects these. And it's given me some chance to really reflect on what is the charismatic renewal. And I don't have an answer. It seems to be really connected to a form of prayer. You know, bodily expressive prayer. And when we were at these charismatic renewal retreats at the North American College, I remember the first one I went to, and it had been many years since I had been in touch with the charismatic prayer that I knew here at St. Joe's through youth ministry and through the confirmation retreat. So I had become uncomfortable again with those prayers. And so I was in the back, and the leader said, you know, okay, I want everybody in the room to lift up their hands and while we sing this song, you know, lift up your hands. And being a good seminarian, I'm like, he said, hands, not arms. So I was like this, you know, praise be Jesus, praise be Jesus. You know, God is good. I kind of know this song, kind of don't, but my hands are raised. You know, it was strange. I had become uncomfortable with this again. And I was like, oh man, this is so silly. Just do it, you know, just lift your hand. So, you know, kind of had to go through this whole process again of lifting up my hand. So I lift up my hand, and then, you know, after a couple of songs, we were back in it, you know. But there is something impressive about that, you know. We are body-soul creatures. And when our body is able to communicate what our soul or our heart or what our intention is, it does something. It has an effect on us. And that's partly why the charismatic renewal maybe is known for a little bit of craziness. Because some of that's been a little bit extreme. You know, this whole idea. And yet, it's so important for us to pray. And if you're in a room and somebody is praying on their knees, are they not praying with their body? You know, if their hands are folded, are they not praying with their body? And if their hands are in the air, are they not praying with their body? Those are all perfectly wonderful postures of prayer that Saint Dominic would pray. Saint Dominic had many different postures of prayer. The cruciform, hands up, the orons, kneeling, prostrating, hands folded. He intentionally engaged in different forms of bodily participation in prayer. We've almost become disembodied. The understanding of the human person is like the body is over here and then the person is over here. Well, that's going to be very destructive because it's a satanic lie. You know, we are a body soul and our body is a gift. Another way that bodies participate in prayer is fasting. Our bodies participate. And this is part of, I think, the on a minuscule level, the healing that the Holy Spirit does in our prayer. In our prayer. 2 John 1 through 3. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ the Father in truth and love. At this point of the testimony, I'd like to go into speaking of mercy in the Holy Spirit, and then look at Pope Francis a little bit, and then direct us to the future. I don't know. The future belongs to God, right? Whatever. John 16, 12 through 15. I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. But when he comes, the Spirit of truth will guide you to all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will speak what he hears and will declare to you the things that are coming. He will glorify me because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I told you that he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. We know what the Holy Spirit is revealed as in the sacred scriptures. The Spirit of life, the Lord, the giver of life, the Spirit of truth. And we know that how the Holy Spirit works in the scriptures is an outpouring of the salvific grapes of Jesus Christ. The application, as it were, of the salvation that we have by the blood of Jesus expressed in mercy. God, the Father of mercies, has sent his Holy Spirit among us for the forgiveness of sins. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit flows from the crucifixion and is an act of mercy. It is an act of merciful love. And I think that's why our personal experience, each one of us, is that there's some healing element on an emotional level, on a memory level, on a physical bodily level. There is healing that takes place. Well, that healing comes from an authentic encounter of the living God. It is an authentic encounter with the divine. And we are made for communion with the divine. And this is what the Holy Spirit does, is that Holy Spirit brings very much into us the living God. So maybe that's like the underlining layer of what the charismatic renewal is a tapping into those graces that we received at baptism and confirmation that might have been blocked or they might have been underdeveloped because of personal sin, because of other people's sins, or whatever the reason is. Those gifts aren't fully operative. And we know that there's a superabundance of gifts given to us in the sacraments. But those gifts do require free cooperation. And because of personal sin or other people's sin or whatever dynamics might be there, we are not free to allow those gifts to be operative in us and for us to cooperate with them. And so the charismatic renewal, as it was presented to us by one of the theologians, allows those gifts to become operative again. Allows those gifts to become alive again. But they require cooperation. If the Lord is going to give the gift of tongues, that requires cooperation. He doesn't take over your will. You know, if the Holy Spirit's going to grant the gift of prophecy or knowledge, that's going to require cooperation. And maybe this is where some people drop out because courage is not in their soul. And so if courage is not in their soul, how are they going to operate in the gifts of the Spirit? There was a Jesuit who was overseeing the spiritual formation of us in seminary, and he said, look, operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit is not an infallible discernment. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to think God was talking to you, and he really wasn't. He said, that's okay. No one's claiming to be infallible. And that's why you've developed kind of these, you know, discernment teams, you know, the word of knowledge teams, because there were people in charismatic prayer groups who were speaking very boldly, and everybody was thinking, what Bible are they reading? You know, so there is some wisdom that has been attained through the years. Fundamentally, though, the charismatic renewal is a gift because the Holy Spirit himself is a gift. In the Trinitarian theology of St. John Paul II, the Holy Spirit is emphasized as a gift. Pope Francis, on the 3rd of July 2015 at St. Peter's Square, did meet with members of the New Renewal, and he said this, good afternoon and welcome. Even the water, he's referring to the fact that it's raining, okay, is welcome because the Lord made it. I greatly appreciate your response to my invitation in January to meet here in St. Peter's Square. Thank you for this enthusiastic and warm response. Last year in the stadium, he's referring to a meeting he had with the Renewal, right? I shared with all those present several reflections which I would like to remember today, because it is always good to remember to recall the identity of the Catholic Charismatic Renewal, from which gave rise to the renewal in the Spirit Association. Okay, I shall do so with the words of Cardinal Leon Joseph Swenens. The great defender of the charismatic renewal, as he described it in the second volume of his memoirs. To start with, in this place, he recalled the extraordinary figure of a woman who did so much at the beginning of the charismatic renewal. She was his co-worker, who also enjoyed the trust and affection of Pope Paul VI. I'm referring to Veronica O'Brien. She was the one who asked the Cardinal to go to the United States to see what was happening, to see with his own eyes what she considered to be the work of the Holy Spirit. It was then that the Cardinal Swenens got to know the charismatic renewal, which he described as a flow of grace. And Pope Francis likes that. He kind of picks up on it. And he was the key person for maintaining it in the church. At the Mass on Pentecost, Monday in 1975, Pope Paul VI thanked the Cardinal with these words, "In the name of the Lord, I thank you for having brought the charismatic renewal into the heart of the church." It is not a novelty of some years ago. The charismatic renewal has a long history. And in the homily of that very Mass, the Cardinal said, "May the charismatic renewal disappear as such, to be transformed into a Pentecostal grace for the whole church." To be faithful to its origin, the river must lose itself in the ocean. Then Pope Francis picks up, the river must be lost in the ocean, yes. If the river comes to a halt, the water becomes stagnant. Should the renewal, this current of grace, not end in the ocean of God, in the love of God? It would work for itself, and this is not of Jesus Christ. This is of the evil one, of the father of lies. In other words, if the renewal works for itself, it has been deceived. But if the renewal works for the church or for the Lord, well, then it's from the Lord. The renewal continues. It comes from God and goes to God. We've established the fact that the renewal is a gift of the Holy Spirit. And I think it's important to acknowledge that there's a lot of confusion right now in the church, whether you're you like the Mass in the extraordinary form, whether you like the Mass in the regular situation, whether you like a charismatic Mass, there's a lot of confusion in the church. And that has affected a lot of the movements, right? And how does the charismatic renewal find its place in the church? And how does the charismatic renewal really become a deep blessing for all vocations? I think there was a I think there was a fundamental error in the early years of the charismatic renewal of identifying itself with a particular prayer form, a particular form of music. I think it's a blessing. I love praying in charismatic renewal. But really, is the charismatic renewal to be limited to praise and worship? Maybe. But what about the people who like to pray in Gregorian chant and like to pray in silence with the rosary? Is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit ought to be, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, are they to be operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit as well? I think so. I think so. And partly why the stagnation of the renewal is because it was hyper-connected to music. Imagine coming to this charismatic conference and hearing songs that they sang in the 80s. Some of you would be like, oh my gosh, this is the real one. This is the great one. Yeah, we used to sing this all the time. And then some of you would be like, psh, I don't know this song. I don't care. So if the charismatic renewal is identified with a particular song or genre of songs, it's not going to last. It's got a very short shelf life. But if the charismatic renewal is prayer groups and praying together and living in and operating in the gifts of the Spirit, well, now it really doesn't matter what type of Mass you want to go to. You can be blessed by the renewal. I love the expressive prayer. I love praise and worship. I love it. You know, I'm not criticizing that. It's wonderful. I would love to do it every day if I could. I don't play a guitar, but I still would love to do it. But we really have to go into deep prayer and say, Lord, what did we get wrong? Lord, what did we get right? Thank you, Jesus, that we got right what we got right. And I praise you, Lord of mercies, that you're going to help us get right what we didn't get right initially. You know, that is the work of the Lord. Moving forward, prayer groups. We have to pray. We have to pray people out of political office. We have to pray people into political office. We have to pray people into better places, to be deeply in prayer. I was watching this video on YouTube of Raniero Cantalamessa. And it haunts me every time I give a talk. No matter whether it's a charismatic talk, it haunts me every time I give a talk. And he said it right before he gave a talk at a charismatic conference. He said, in the good old days, we used to get together and pray. Now we get together and talk about praying. He laughed and everybody laughed, and then he gave like an hour-long talk. But, yeah. At some point in time, we just have to start praying. I remember just recently I was with this group and they're trying to do a discernment and stuff and talk. I'm like, when are we going to pray? And that's where I'm hoping that we can help each other journey with. That we can help each other pray. That we can form prayer groups again. Or find ways to pray, even if you don't have a trained musician, which is great. And I think if that's a big part of the spirituality that people like, well, then practically you got to get your musicians trained. It's like, we can't form a charismatic prayer group because we don't have anybody to lead the music. I'm like, well, that was an easy one for Satan to crush. Really? I mean, the music is a blessing, and if you want it, then get trained musicians. But it has to be more than that. It has to, and I don't know what it is, to be honest with you, but it has to be more than that. You know, so what is the charismatic renewal? Well, moving forward, I think we should just be open. But return to the reality that the apostles and Our Lady were in the upper room together and they were praying. At Duquesne University, what were they doing? They were praying. You know, the other original fonts of the charismatic renewal, what were they doing? They were praying. So that's not very insightful, but I hope it's helpful. We have to be praying. And so let's pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise You, we adore You, we glorify You, we praise You, Lord. We just ask, Father, that You send Your fire upon us. Come, fire of God. Come, sweet anointing from above. We praise You, Lord Jesus. We glorify You. You know, if you're not comfortable with praying out loud, you know, stretch yourself out right now. Just say in the Holy Spirit, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. We praise You, Lord God. We claim the Lordship of Jesus Christ. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Jesus is Lord. We praise You, Lord Jesus. We praise You, Lord God. Heavenly Father, we lift to You this state of Oregon, the state of Washington, the state of California. Father God, we lift to You our states. We need mercy, Lord God. We are way away from You, Lord God, and we have allowed the church to become polluted by lies of Satan. There are a lot of confused people about what is right and what is wrong, Lord God, and that has serious consequences for the salvation of souls. And Lord God, we believe that You will triumph, and we believe that You sent Our Lady in Fatima, and she said, in the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph, and we claim that triumph right now. We claim the triumph of Our Lady in our hearts and in our lives, and for the state of Oregon, for the Archdiocese of Portland, for the Archdiocese of Seattle. Heavenly Father, we just place all of us under Your Lordship, under Your power. Sweet Spirit from above, we pray for Your anointing. We pray for Your charisms. We pray for Your gifts. Bless us with the gifts of the Spirit. Bless us with the gift of tongues. Bless us with the gift of prophecy, knowledge, understanding, boldness. Lord God, bless us. Bless us with the gifts of healing. Lord, help us heal each other. To pray over each other, to become instruments of healing for each other. You are the Lord, the giver of life, Holy Spirit, and You do the healing. We know that, Lord. But we pray that we would respond to that call from the Lord to be in prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray that there would be a deep connection in our lives, that You would awaken within us a love for the Word of God, an understanding of the Word of God. That our hearts would long to read Scripture and to experience Your presence in the Word. And Heavenly Father, we pray that we would deeply enter into the Holy Mass, whether it's celebrated in Latin, whether it's praise and worship, whether it's silent, who cares? We pray that we would enter deeply into it, Lord. There's a deeper reality there at Mass, and it's the salvation of the world, Lord God. And we just pray that those mysteries would be revealed to us, that we would know Your presence. And Lord, we pray that You would call us to prayer and adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, that You would call us to pray in the Rosary, that there would be a deep harmony, Lord God, between all the movements of Your grace in our lives. And Heavenly Father, we praise You now. We praise You for the 50 years that we celebrated the charismatic renewal. We praise You, glorify You, and adore You, worship You, honor You. We just praise You, Lord God. And we thank You in advance, as it were, for what You are doing and what You will continue to do, because You are faithful. Even when we are not faithful, You are faithful, Lord God. We praise You, Lord Jesus. And Heavenly Father, we give You permission to bless us. We give You permission to love us. We give You permission to help us grow in humility. We give you permission, Lord God. We praise you, glorify you, adore you, and worship you. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would send fire upon the earth and that in the Northwest many different fires would be ignited. I was with a prayer group and we were praying over each other, and a couple times now it's been seen little fires all through the Northwest. Little fires. And Lord, I know that vision is very clear in my mind. Little fires throughout the whole Northwest. And from here will come a great grace for the universal church. From the Archdiocese of Portland, from Oregon, from Washington, will come a great grace for the universal church. And the Lord is doing it. And we are a part of it. And we thank the Lord for that. We praise the Lord for that. We praise you, Jesus. Father, I consecrate to you every person now and every gift given at holy baptism. And with the authority of the priesthood of Jesus Christ, I ask Father Chuck to join me and Bishop Peter to join me here, because we want to seal those gifts. You have received gifts that need to be sealed, as it were, to be operative. And we just pray a blessing upon you now and upon ourselves, everybody who has received a gift of the Holy Spirit, that gift would be sealed with the authority of the priesthood of Jesus Christ. That gift would become operative for the blessing of the church. That gift would help you become holy by serving that gift, and that you would bless other people with that gift. And we pray, Father, that all of these gifts, especially the gifts of baptism, would give us the greatest gift of all, the gift of holiness, the gift of your love. And we seal all of these gifts in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. To whom belongs glory forever and ever.